Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Paul, for those that don't know me. Over the last few weeks, we've been through the Passover, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ, and that's the foundation of everything that we believe in. And it's a very exciting, very powerful time of the year, especially for Christians, but for the world, because of what Jesus did for all of us. So my message today is going to be about what happened next, basically. So I am going to pray. I need prayer at the moment. Lord, I just pray that you would help me to put myself aside and that you would speak through me. Holy Spirit, use my mouth, use my words to speak to hearts that are open, to ears that are ready to hear, and hearts that have been prepared for the word that you have for them today. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the Great Commission. So we all, most Christians know the Great Commission, and we kind of quote, you know, go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing, etc. But I want to go into that a little bit deeper today and just show a little bit more about that. And I want to talk about the what, why, and how principle. So when we read the Bible, we can read a story and think, oh, that's a nice story. But the interesting thing about the Bible is that everything that Jesus taught us, everything that's in the Word, is there for a reason. It's either Jesus is telling us what he wants to do, or what we need to do, how we need to do it, or why we need to do it. And when we read Scripture, if we kind of have those three questions in our mind of why is this written, what does it mean for me today, is this something that Jesus wants me to do, is this something he's explaining why it happened or why I should do something, is he explaining how I can do something, it takes you deeper into the word. So we're going to have a look at Matthew 28 first, if you could put that one up. So this verse, as I say, we tend to go straight to go ye therefore, but this scripture has been bookended in a very, very powerful way. When Jesus had just... So I'll just put a bit of context on this, actually. When Jesus had just risen from the dead, the news is getting around that he's risen. Obviously, that's freaky news when you put that into context. You've just seen somebody 3 days ago died a brutal, horrible death, crucified on a cross, and then these stories start getting around that he's risen from the dead. And you start thinking, for the disciples, it's like he did say he'd do that, you know. But who would have believed that? Honestly, if I told you that, look, I'll probably die tomorrow, but don't worry about it, Wednesday I'll get up again. It's pretty hard to sort of comprehend. But this scripture here it's called the Great Commission because it's basically I look at it as the one job we're being given. You know, as Christians, Jesus has done all the work for us, and now as Christians, we've just been asked to go and preach the gospel, to share what has happened, and to share what God has done for us. So this scripture, it actually says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. Jesus had told them to be at a certain place on a certain mountain, and I'll come and meet with you. And he comes to them and he says, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. So there's the commission in the middle of what we need to do, but that first part of verse 18, all power has been given to me on in heaven and on earth. We've just witnessed, imagine you're there, you're one of the disciples, we've just witnessed a brutal death and then a resurrection, and we've met this guy. It's not just we've heard about it. Jesus is there, and now he's saying, all power has been given to me. He's demonstrated that he's got all power over sin, death. Nothing can stop him. And then he ends it with, so he tells them, go and preach the gospel, baptizing, etc. And he said, and I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the world. So think about the authority that that brings, knowing that Jesus is with us every day as we go out into the world and share the gospel, teach people about what we believe and why we believe it. It should give us an incredible sense of confidence and boldness to go out and speak the gospel. I just think that's really interesting that, you know, we always quote scripture and it's very easy to pick the bit that we want to say, and the Great Commission is our job. But when you realize that we can go out with boldness and confidence because of what Jesus has just done, and he's with us even to the end of the age. We'll go to the next scripture, Luke 10, 2 and 3. And it says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out. This is the why. You know, we've got that one job. Go and preach the gospel. Go and baptize. The fact is that there are millions of people around us that don't know the good news. We've got something very, very, very powerful inside of us because we have this incredible news of what Jesus has done for us. That's not just for you and me, that's for everybody. And it's our job to make sure that everybody knows that. And so, you know, we talked about the what. This is one of the whys. We'll go on to the next scripture, Acts 1. Have we got that one, Seth? Acts 1, verse 8. This one says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. So this is, you know, this is another what. This is something, but it also tells us that we've been given the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand any part of this, if you're new to faith or this is something new to you, please come and talk to somebody about what these things mean. I don't mean to talk over somebody if they don't understand what we're talking about here, but when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into you. It's God's Spirit within us. And this is such a powerful thing. And as we live out our lives as Christians, God does things for us every day. We start to recognize the things that Jesus is doing for us. And so a witness is simply, if you witness a car crash, you saw what happened. If something has happened in your life, you're telling somebody else about it. And that's all we're called to do as Christians, is to tell people about what God has done for us. You don't have to be a preacher and stand up front like this. But you go out into the street, into your workplace, into the supermarket, wherever you go during the week, and just share what God's done for you. So, you know, you might be thankful that you got over a sickness that you had. Tell people that you're so thankful that God healed me. You don't have to preach the gospel. You just connect your story to other people in a way that they can understand. If you've been provided with a job when you've been praying for a job, when you talk to people, just thank God for that job. I've been praying for a job and I'm just so thankful. It's not hard to preach the gospel. That is preaching the gospel. I'm so thankful that God gave me this job. I've been praying for it. It's so simple, but we all quite often think, oh, no, I couldn't be a preacher. I'm just, you know, Paul the retired guy. You know what I mean? Like, we can very easily make ourselves small when actually God says that we're very big. God says that we're his witnesses and he's put his Holy Spirit within us. And so we share our faith, share the gospel, and the being a witness for Christ is the Great Commission. That's all we've been asked to do, is to share our faith, share what God has done for us, and just make, how can I put it, make what God has done for you, sorry, I'm losing my words, but the way that we feel when we share our faith is just simply something that's happened for us, and we're just sharing it. And that's as simple as it should be. We got the next scripture there. I call this the Paul's letter to the New Zealanders. We go to Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses, whether you like it or not, everyone's actually watching how you walk out your faith. And so it says here, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. So what's holding you back? It says here, especially the sin that will so easily trip us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So in a very simple way, this scripture is just saying, look, what's the sin that trips you up? And we've all got different things. We've all got issues in our life, and we all know what that one particular thing is that we have problems with. So focus on that. Paul's saying, look, I don't want to use examples because I don't want to make anyone feel shame or whatever, but we all have particular sins that we struggle with. And you know what that is. And you have a chat with God and just say, look, Lord, I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z. Please help me to put that aside in my life so that I can reflect you better in society. And so these are simple steps that we can take to reflect Christ in our lives. And it is very important to realize that I go for a walk pretty much every day around Lobie, and it's so simple to just say, g'day mate, how you going? You know, what a beautiful day, something like that as you walk past somebody. Now, you think, well, that's not really glorifying God. Well, it is actually. You lift somebody up in a small way when you walk past them, and what a beautiful day. In their heart, they go, yeah, it is actually. It's nice, isn't it? And it lifts them a little bit. Now, I see, you know, a lot of the same people every week because I walk around town. I tend to walk at different times of the day, so I meet all different people. But Every now and again, I end up having a conversation with somebody. But the only reason I have those conversations is because I've built these little bridges along the way of people that I've spoken to, and it could just be, oh, I thought it was going to rain today, but actually it's turned out really nice. But you have these little conversations, and it's just a passing, g'day mate, sometimes that's all it is. But you find that down the track, 2 weeks later, you've passed the same person again, and for whatever reason, God pulls you together and you have a conversation. And those conversations turn into an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And you, all you have to do is be nice. It's not hard to be nice, but it's actually easy to be grumpy. And it's a simple choice to go out and decide, no, I'm going to reflect Christ today. And when I go for my walks, I pray, and when I go for my walks, I'm talking to God and just thinking, you know, this week I've been going through my notes and things for this message. But, you know, the Great Commission is just, Lord, use me. And it's amazing what he does sometimes. The conversations I've had just out on a walk or, you know, at a servo filling the car or the bike up or whatever it is, and you end up in a conversation with people. And our job is simply to reflect Christ in everything that we do. I've got a couple of scriptures here from Colossians. We'll go to the first one. Colossians 3:23. Work willingly of whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord, not for people. You know, I learned this scripture when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Dad taught me scripture through everyday life. We, you know, we had chooks and ducks and rabbits and all sorts of food that we used to grow. And you know, Dad would tell me to go and clean out the chook yard as though it was God's chook yard. And, you know, it sounds simple and it's teaching scripture in a very childlike manner, but I took that into my work life as an adult, and it actually served me very well in the workplace. Because if you work for your boss begrudgingly because you hate your job, you're not reflecting Christ. Now, if you go into a workplace and let's say you're working at Closey's down the road here and you do your job as though you're working for God, you do your job very well. And your boss recognizes that and it serves you well in your job, but it also reflects Christ. And people will say, why are you working so hard? The boss isn't even looking. Well, your boss is looking. Do you know what I mean? It's such a simple scripture, but it changes your perspective on all of your life if you do everything that you do as though you're working for the Lord. So this is a how. So we've got hows, whys, what scriptures. I'm just sort of throwing that in every now and again. But it's a simple little principle that when you read the word, you know, what's God talking to me about here? We'll go to the second one, Seth. Colossians 4:5-6. Live wisely amongst those who are unbelievers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. I don't need to explain that one. That's very basic, very self-explanatory. But it actually tells us that we should go and live amongst the unbelievers. And as Christians, we can get more and more involved in our church community, which is great. But this scripture actually tells us to live amongst the unbelievers and to reflect Jesus in our life. That is the Great Commission, is to live wisely amongst the unbelievers. So when you go to work, you're living amongst the unbelievers for most of us. Some people are fortunate enough to not have to deal with that. But whatever you do in life, wherever you go out into the world, be conscious of the fact that you are in amongst unbelievers, and to live wisely, to think about your conversations, to be gracious. It's interesting that it says, let your conversations be attractive. You know, if somebody asks you what you did over the weekend, and you kind of quickly skip over the fact that you went to church, what is that actually saying about what you think about going to church? Are you embarrassed that you go to church? Or do you go and, you know, you say that Vince and I went to the footy last night. We had a good game. we had a win. Go the Crows. But if I tell my mates during the week that I went to the footy game on the weekend, and then Sunday I went to church, and then Sunday afternoon, if I talk about the weekend like that, you're actually telling people that you do go to church, but you're kind of embarrassed about it. But if I tell people during this week that Vince and I went to the footy on Saturday night, and then Sunday we had a great day at church. You know, we had this talk about the Great Commission, whatever it was. We tell people that we got something out of the message, or that there was a... And I know this seems weird to you guys, but we had this time of worship that just, I don't know, it felt like God really spoke to me. And you talk to the person that you're talking to, obviously, in a way that they can relate to. But if you talk about how God's done something in your life, that actually sounds like, oh, so tell me more. What's that about? I don't understand what you're talking about, but it sounds like you enjoyed it. So make your conversations gracious and attractive, so that you get so that you have the right response for everyone. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of the fact that you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, you've been adopted into this incredible family, and you should be proud of that. I mean, we've got a king as a dad. Be proud of that. What have we got next? Seth, is that Matthew? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this goes back to one of the earlier ones about doing your job well so that it reflects your Heavenly Father. But this one, it's an interesting one, because in the context of an older world civilization, I guess, in the society kind of thing, you wanted to reflect your family well. And I'd like to think that we can reflect our Father in heaven. You know, you talk about sort of princes, you know, doing the wrong thing and how poorly that reflects on, you know, our king or queen at the time and things like that. And I kind of put this into that context of, you know, going through our lives in a way that reflects our family name well. So let your light shine before men, and so that they see your good works. It's an interesting one, that if we do our job well, are we doing it so that we look good, or are we doing it so that we can have an opportunity to share why we do our job so well, because God's watching, you know. We don't do a good job because we feel guilty, or because, you know, otherwise we get a bash over the head. But like I was talking before about working down at Closey's or whatever it is that you do, it doesn't matter if the boss is watching or not. We want to do a good job and reflect our Heavenly Father. I think we've got one or two more scriptures. What have we got next? I've got to go by the slides. I've got these all written out, but I don't want to... Ah, that's an interesting one. Funnily enough, that's the Boy Scout scripture. Be prepared. Always be prepared to... Oh, hang on, I'll get that one. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that you have with meekness and fear. Just a little tip. Think about why you believe what you believe. And be ready to actually share that. It sounds so simple, but how many of us, if you think about it, if somebody asks you why you believe what you believe, are you prepared with a simple, down-to-earth, non-spiritual, spooky answer for why you believe what you believe? Because I'm involved with a motorcycle club, that's my gear over there, I'll just grab this. So I'm a member of the Long Riders. We get around in a different world to you guys quite a lot of the time. So we're explaining to Hell's Angels, nasty people sometimes, why we believe what we believe. And it's no good saying, thus saith the Lord in 1 Peter 3. It's not going to work. So you need to think about why you believe what you believe. And we know what we believe. We know why we believe. But think about how you explain that in down-to-earth, regular people talk. Because when you ask God to give you opportunities, He will. And it's really nerve-wracking the first time. And the second time, and probably the third and fourth time. But the more you do it, the more confident you get, the more bold you get to share your faith of why we believe what we believe, thanking God for what He's done for us, thanking God for the fact that, you know, we're all sinners. I mean, you know, some people think they're better than somebody else, but actually, God just sees sin as sin. And some of us probably think, oh, well, you know, I'm much better than that bloke over there. Well, that's only in your eyes. In God's eyes, we're all just sinners. And if God didn't look at us through Christ, through what we've been celebrating over the last few weeks, the fact that Christ died for us because we were full of sin and sin cannot be in the presence of God. But through what Jesus did, through Him taking our place on that cross, we can actually now enter boldly into the presence of God because God now looks at us through Christ. That Christ's blood washed us clean and we don't have to feel shame anymore. We don't have to feel guilt. We don't have to feel dirty. You know, we all feel like that regularly, but we go to Christ, we say sorry, wash me clean, Lord, and help me to walk into today boldly in your forgiveness, your healing, your cleansing, everything that the cross represented for us, It changes everything. And that is so powerful, and we've got to take that into our week. So don't just think, oh no, evangelism is for the big preacher guy. There's this thing called micro-evangelism, and it's simply being that nice guy who says, g'day, beautiful day today, as you walk past somebody in the street. Now, that person coming the other way might be, you know, like this, oh, what a crap day. I wish I didn't have to walk. But you come the other way and you just pep them up a little bit. Now, if somebody's a little bit happier than they were 5 minutes ago, you've reflected Christ in their life. Now, it could be 3 months down the track before this guy says to me, how come you're always happy? And that is my opportunity. One of our scriptures earlier was about always being ready to share the gospel. We've talked about going out into the world knowing that Christ is always with us. We go out into our week knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us and that he actually speaks through us. It's amazing the number of times where I've been talking to somebody in very unusual circumstances sometimes, and they've just asked the most random question, and my response has actually been scripture without the these and thous. I realise afterwards that the Holy Spirit was speaking through me, and you know, it's a powerful thing to realise that we don't have to do it all, that it's not actually, half the time it's not even us, it's just we're an available puppet and the Holy Spirit is using us, because we're not a puppet. But I hope you understand what I'm saying is that we make ourselves available to share the gospel. It's amazing the opportunities that come up, and it's amazing what comes out of your mouth sometimes. And I look back and I think, gee, that was obviously God, because I wouldn't have come up with that straight off the top of my head. But the Holy Spirit brings back to memory scriptures, and I've developed over the years this, I guess, ability to translate King James into truckie. I translate King James into biker. They're all different languages, if you like. You know, your community, your people that you deal with every day, every week, might be students at school, it might be you're a teacher and you're in the school, it might be that you're in the transport industry, wherever you are, we all have these kind of different languages that we speak. You know, you go to a new job and they've got all new acronyms and you have to learn all the new acronyms. But speak to the people that you're speaking with in their acronyms. You don't these and thou and thus saith the Lord God Almighty. And, you know, I used to have a bit of a joke with a guy, a Christian obviously, but I would say, have you put the old man to death and been washed in the blood? You know, we talk this weird language as Christians, but in different workplaces, we also have different languages, and we need to speak that language, but speak the gospel through that language. So I've kind of covered, I had some sort of practical tips and so on, and I've sort of covered some on the way through, but I've got this, there's just some steps here. I encourage you to identify some of the relationships that you actually have in your community. It could be the guy that I walk past every day with his dog, or it could be somebody that you work with maybe once a week, maybe every day, whatever it is. But identify the relationships that you have in your marketplace or your workplace, whatever it is. And make a point of deepening those relationships. You know, it's very important that you don't try to... I had a preacher said years and years ago, don't try and put 10-ton of friendship over a 2-ton bridge. You know, you don't put heavy stuff onto somebody you don't know. So look at the friendships, the connections, the relationships that you already have in your life, and make a point of deepening those relationships so that you do have the right to speak into people's lives. And when the time is right, extend an invitation of, you know, a conversation about faith, or, you know, there's something coming up at, you know, Easter was a perfect opportunity. Even non-Christians go to church at Easter, you know. Something comes up. It might be the, you know, something that we're doing for Mother's Day. It might be a perfect opportunity to invite your mum. Might be your daughter who doesn't normally go to church. Mother's Day is a fantastic opportunity to do that. Think about those opportunities, but build the relationship first. Don't just ring somebody up and say, look, we're having this awesome event on, and I really think that you need to be there. If you cold call somebody with a message like that, you're not going to get the message through. So build the relationships, deepen those relationships, and then invite when the time comes. Now, another little thing I'd just like to say as well is, if you start building a relationship with somebody and then you invite them to church and they say no, don't never talk to them again. That's horrible. Continue to build that relationship. Continue to build that friendship. And they might say no 3 times before they say yes. But you just keep living as a Christian. You keep living with that world of witnesses around you that we saw earlier in one of the scriptures. And just demonstrate what a life of faith is. And you'll be amazed at how things start to turn around. And if somebody does, when somebody does become a Christian, walk the journey with them. You know, this is a whole new world for people. You know, we've got Will and Audrey here. You know, we invited them to church and we invited them on to Alpha. They went through the Alpha course. And Narelle and I, we see them as our spiritual kids. You know, we're their Aussie parents. but we're journeying with them, and we continue on that journey. Because it's a whole new world. We need to explain why we believe what we believe. We take people on that journey. And I just encourage all of you to do that. I hope this has been a little bit interesting. I hope that you've learned something about another way of reading the Bible with the how and why. But I really hope that you get the concept that we've been given one job. Jesus went through the whole crucifixion, came back to life, met with the disciples and said, right, go. But he said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So I hope that's been interesting for you. I hope that there's been a little bit educational as well. And I'll hand back over to Simon.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.